Hello, everybody. It's Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols here with the Tactical Fitness Report. And today we're going to talk about training, but in a little bit different way. Your first time with us, and how do we assess you? How do we put you into a program? How do we figure out what you need? All of those little things that come that are involved as a trainer and as somebody you're seeking information from about training. What are some of the processes that we go through when we see somebody for the first time?
Right.
So Jeff, I'm 18 years old, just graduated high school, I'm in junior college, and, I'm giving myself some time to train. And now, I was a football player. So, in high school, so I want to be a Navy SEAL and I come find you. So what happens after that?
Yeah, obviously we're going to start off with a conversation because I don't have like scripted questions I'm going to ask other than a couple. And those scripted questions are around, again, we've kind of already talked about it, like what's your past? What's your past physical activity look like? What injuries have you sustained outside of what you consider non-chronic or chronic? People have always twisted ankles and these sort of things, but is there something where you're like, I've always had trouble with this leg, this foot, whatever. I'm going to do a biomechanics assessment on you to see how well you actually move, to see if you know how to move, or see if you have, well, everyone does have, including me, we all do. We have compensation patterns based off of what our physical experience has been. Like if you've been a baseball pitcher your whole life, your body will have adapted to that, those mechanics. Musculature will look a little different. You might be, it's just a total overview so I can see, because once I see your history, your physical history, and I ask you about it and I start having you move, I will expect certain compensation patterns, right? And so it's just a history of going, okay, well, now that I know what to expect out of you, if we do it this, 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 and this, you'll begin to improve on your movement and diminish some of those compensations. And that's so important because that speaks to compensation patterns are a direct correlation to inefficiency. Inefficiency is a direct correlation to fatigue, and fatigue is a direct correlation to injury.
Yeah.
So we're trying to make somebody prevent injury and make them fatigue resistant. And we're able to do that. We make them very efficient. When they're very efficient, they can really go and go and go. So that's my whole sort of thing when I begin, and this is what my needs analysis is. I'm doing an individual needs analysis. Now, when you have a group of people come in, it's the same sort of thing because the needs of that group, specifically for Spec War, they're the same.
Right.
Right. As far as the goal, like we, especially with PST numbers, I'll ask a person if they've done PSTs officially or unofficially. If so, what are their numbers, their height and weight? And it's really pretty general. It's just, I've done it so many times that like, I almost can predict as soon as I see someone move, I kind of go, okay, I see what's going on here.
Right.
And it becomes less about the numbers, because a lot of times the numbers are, self-inflated or they're inefficient. And it's just some of these things that like, we can make a tweak on an individual. And a lot of times you just find out that they're just overtraining.
Yeah.
As well. That's my starting point. My starting point is to get to know the individual, what they've been exposed to. And once I have them move, I can see right away where their, for lack of a better term, is their weaknesses.
Right.
Not based off of, oh, I can only do 12 pull-ups. That to me isn't a huge weakness. It's just how their body position is, how they're contracting their muscles. That's what I mean is it's inefficient. You're either highly efficient, you've compensated and are fairly efficient, or you're just really inefficient. That's kind of where I go from there. So that's kind of my start. How about you, Stu?
Mine's very similar. I think if you're not similar to that, you're probably not doing your client any justice.
Yeah.
Because one, you got to find out the history of this client. Where were his injuries? Where's his strengths? Where's his weaknesses? And a lot of those, like Jeff said, you can kind of find out just by listening to what he likes to do. He's a powerlifting football player. I already have perceived in my mind, okay, we're going to have to work with him on running. Don't worry about the lifting too much because he can crush that. You know, we'll see how his endurance looks for the calisthenics. And then we'll put him in a pool and see if he can swim. So, you know, at my workouts that we do here in Maryland, I 6 a.m., we start working out. So if you show up at 6 a.m. for your first workout, I pretty much, you know, after talking to you the day before, you know, sending some emails saying, tell me where, you know, what you've been doing, all that, meet me there. And we just start the workout because usually the first 20 minutes of my workout is a calisthenic warm-up, I call it. No matter what phase we're in, we kind of do this little warm-up where we go to the basketball court, we do one push-up, run to the other side, do two push-ups, run to the other side, do three push-ups. But I tell you what, I can really assess that new guy really quickly in how he does his push-ups. You know, is there something wrong with his stance, the way he does it? Is he going halfway up, all the way down, or not? And then I can look at him running from the side. I can look at him running from behind, see if his knees are lifting up too much or, you know, landing on his heels. You know, all those little things that kind of go with the movement patterns that Jeff was talking about and just techniques of doing these exercises a little better. Yeah. And then we kind of build up to a level where, okay, now we're at 10 push-ups, you know, running across. Let's see how he does on the double digits. Let's see if he can get to 15. Let's see if he can get to 20. And usually by 20, we're stopping and we're done with the warm-up. But that's still 210 push-ups. How did that new person feel on this? And about halfway through, I'll take a look at him and say, okay, don't worry about going up to 20. What I want you to do is go to 10 and then repeat back down 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So he's still with the group. He's just not pushing himself the way the guys that are used to being able to do that are. So, you know, there's some spot corrections that you can make on the fly even, you know, with some of these group training workouts that we do. And then we go up into the weight room, and that's where we really try to figure out what's going on. You know, is that person, you know, a good lifter? You know, depending on his history, that usually says yes or no. If that guy's an endurance athlete, he probably has never lifted before, and you can just look at him and kind of tell that. And then, you know, we kind of create a program. I say, all right, so here's the deal. My guys are going to be lifting. It's kind of our lifting phase anyway, so this is a perfect phase for you to join us. You know, we're going 5 rounds of 5 reps, so maybe just do a couple of rounds on this first day. Let's see how you feel. Let's see what kind of – let's first find your weight that you're comfortable doing 5 times. You know, see how your technique looks on that. And we just really fine tune his technique on these first few days of lifting. Not to the point where I'm teaching him to be a master power lifter, obviously, but I just want him to do it safely so he doesn't hurt himself. And it's not rocket science. I mean, as long as you have some athletic ability, you know, and you can understand a little bit of coaching, you know, you can pick up these things pretty quickly. And then our next phase, we go into the pool, and I usually just walk on the side of the pool. I see if he really needs me. You know, how much has he been watching videos? How much has he been practicing? You know, if he's never – I've had a guy who's never swum across the pool ever before, you know, do it his first time right there. You know, it looked horrible. So I say, all right, we got some work to do, you know, and let's break it down. And usually I just pull that guy out and just say, you know what, let's watch these guys because a picture's worth 1,000 words. I can sit here and tell you all day, you got to pull, breathe, kick, glide, and that doesn't mean anything. Let's watch it.
Yeah.
You know, and then put you in there and, you know, at the end of that length, you know, we talk a little bit. We try, you know, let's just focus on the kick. Let's just focus on the pull. Maybe grab a kick board or something and just focus on kicking. So that's kind of a long answer to my typical first day guy who comes in to our group training. I usually just do group training. So I do it from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. and the rest of the time I'm doing podcasts or writing about fitness. So yeah. I don't really do a lot of personal training. I do some training online, which is a pretty extensive Q&A process and phone calls and all of that, you know, kind of gets to where Jeff was starting off with, and, you know, maybe giving some, you know, PST type tests just to see where they are. You know, if they have problems with something that they feel they're having problems with, maybe take a video of that and let me view it. You know, just things like that, you know, so I can critique their form and things like that. So that's my PT session in a 5-minute diatribe. So Jeff, you got anything to add to, you know, the PT sessions? Maybe let's talk about logical progressions maybe.
Yeah. And that's really the next step is that for me, I just keep it simple. I work from the ground up. And the reason why, you know, what you should see in somebody that's training you is a needs analysis that Stu and I are talking about. Obviously training is a part of that needs analysis. Needs analysis means it's an evaluation to see what that person needs. All right. That's the primary thing. Like you can't write a program for somebody until you know what they need.
Yeah.
Right. And the needs are specific to what their deficiencies are. Right. That's where that need is. It's again, if the football player, for example, doesn't need to get stronger, but needs a bit runner, his need based off of your analysis is aerobic training. Okay. So the thing is for me is what I do is I work in a manner that I can organize everything and I go ground up, deadlift, squat, bench. I work ground up, or press, right. Or whatever you want to call it. And the reason why time needs to be spent up front, and this is one of the big red flags I have with somebody, is they're like, just show up, workouts on the board, jump in. And they're like, okay, that's fine if the person saying jump in is with by your side.
Right.
Every minute, every moment, every rep, they're there to make sure that baseline is set because we reap what we sow. If we sow very, very heavily on the foundation, then you can assimilate. You can assimilate to a program. You can assimilate to a group, and you can assimilate to a coach. If that coach is going, the workout's on the board, I'm going to sit over here and just, we're just going to let guys go.
Right. Right.
If everybody that Stu brings in that comes in to train with Stu, he's setting them up the same way. So a week later, 2 weeks later, a month later, 4 months later, as somebody new comes into that population, not only do they have Stu to learn from, they have everyone in the water, in the weight room, in the track that they can look and see how it should be done.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing is people, most training environments as a coach, everyone that's executing whatever the workout is doing a terrible job at it. So when they get somebody new coming in, they have the only points of reference they have is shitty movement. So, you know, Stu's already said he makes sure he's saying they swim a length, they stop and talk. Okay, let's work on these specifics. It's assimilation.
Yeah. Right?
You can't, the expectation to do something is only available. Expectation only exists if the education is there. You can't just say, go do it. Yeah. You've got to say, let's try this. We've learned it. Try next step. Learned it. Try the next step. And that's what I do. I work from the ground up. Same in the pool. I have a 5-day process that I have milestones at the end of each day that I want to get to, but we don't move past that milestone until that milestone is achieved. Because what ends up happening is I get people, like I had a guy, a little bit of a freak. He was a former pro basketball player. He was 6'8". Never swam, never once swam other than like splashed around as a kid and as a young adult, like getting in the water, right? He was swimming like a 15-minute 500, right? By the end of the week, just because he had learned, he was athletic and learned how to skill, it was like when he actually took his first PST, he's swimming a sub-8. But again, he has size 16 feet. He's a great athlete. He's there to learn. He picked everything up. We did it in phases. And so the whole point of all this that Stu and I are trying to say is that if the person that is teaching you doesn't have a plan, like a true plan, they should be able to see you and then in 1 hour or 10 minutes of seeing you swim, 10 minutes of seeing you run, 15 minutes of seeing you in the weight room. They should know exactly what those milestones should be. Like, we're not going to have somebody do Olympic weightlifting unless they can comfortably hold a bar in the front rack. Like, we don't bypass that. You can't. Yeah.
Or I tell you what, when I do my warm-ups on leg days, remember how I was saying we do a push-up, run to the other side, do 2 push-ups, run back, do 3 push-ups? On leg days, we do squats that way. And if I look at them and they can't do a regular squat without their heels coming up off the ground or their knees jutting way far forward when they're doing this, you know, squat with just body weight calisthenics, you know, that's a telltale sign to me. They've never been taught how to do squats. So last thing I'm going to do is put them under a barbell.
Yep.
You know, we're going to fix this squat pattern first in calisthenics and then move them on to maybe holding dumbbells in their hands, and, maybe stretching out their calves a little bit because they're just too tight and they can't keep their heels on the ground when they're lifting or when they're squatting. And, same for push-ups too. I can watch a guy do push-ups and say his core's weak just because of the way he's slanting his back.
Yep.
Right. So we got to work on some core strength. So the last thing I'm going to do is have him doing a lot of deadlifting. Right on day one, because he's probably never done it.
Yeah.
Right. So
always remember this, folks. Movement always before mass.
Yeah.
Like, again, it's your ability to move a mass to include your own body, right? Which is why you don't see a lot of gymnasts like stumble around doing body weight exercises.
Right.
The nature of the sport. But that's where we want to get before we put a barbell on you or put dumbbells in your hands or a medicine ball or push a sled, movement before we add mass. And that the beauty is so many of you'll go from, I've never really done this before. We make sure that you're moving well. And all of a sudden you're like, wow, I never thought I'd be able to do this, whether it's reps, right? Whether it's a speed-based thing, whether it's a conjugate of both, right? Where you're going to do sprints and push-ups and whatever it is. All of a sudden, you're like, what are we talking? We're talking efficiency.
Yeah.
When the human body is being efficient, even if it's not strong or fast, when it's efficient, it's strong and it's fast.
Yeah. And when you're talking about work capacity, efficiency is key. Yep. You know, and I tell you what's really cool is, you know, I have collegiate football players that are done with their football career come in, you know, and I have cross country, high school, college cross country runners come in and they're doing the same workout minus a few alterations. I can quickly change things to the needs. So, you know, typically we'll run 5 minutes, do squats, deadlifts, leg press, you know, something like that on a leg day. We'll repeat that several times. But if it's the powerlifting football guy, I'm going to say you're going to run 10 minutes and just do two rounds of the squat, deadlift, leg press. Whereas I'm going to get the cross country guy, don't even run. We're just going to do the squat, deadlift, leg press for you. You know, so things can be, I guess, modular for lack of a better term for depending on whatever guy it is, even in a group training program. I mean, it's a little bit like juggling, you know, for the trainer, but it's fun. Yeah. It keeps me on my toes. It wakes me up. It gets me thinking. And the coolest thing to see is, you know, after, you know, several months of this is you see a stronger cross country guy who's gained 15 pounds and you see a faster football player who's lost 50 pounds. Right. Yep. And I mean that we're doing the same workout. We just changed it up a little bit depending on that person's needs. So That's so rewarding, you know, because I know they're getting ready for what they want to go do.
Yep.
And
that's the big curveball, folks, is that if you are training on a consistent basis and you hit a plateau, there's only a couple of things, the reason why you're plateauing: injury, overtraining, movement pattern. That's about it. And what does movement pattern means? You strength only takes you so far, right? A person can bench press 700 pounds, not just because they were strong, but if you look at the slot that they're in the movement, the position their body has taken, they can express that strength because they're efficient. So that's what we forget. We forget that, you know, again, the beautiful baseball swing. It's beautiful because it's so efficient. And you're like, man, he's barely even swinging.
Yeah.
But he's so much power behind that bat, right? Again, climbers, same thing. You're like, man, that person is just hanging all day. How is he not tired? Because he's trained himself to be really efficient, right? You can pick any sport. The ones that look the most graceful generate the most force. They jump the furthest. They run the fastest, right? Shooters, look at a guy with a gun. Someone that just looks really smooth, accurate, right? It's because they're so efficient between those touch points. Okay. Yeah. And that's the thing is, now there is a time to grind. Don't get me wrong. But what you tend to see a lot of times, if you step back as an athlete and watch watch Stu's guys train, you just watch them and go, man, they're really efficient, right? And they're like, man, they're swimming really fast. Yeah, because they're efficient. Man, they're getting done. They're tired, but they're not exhausted. When I get done, I'm exhausted. Well, it goes back to efficiency.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's the big thing that it's hard to teach that, like in like an electronic media. And that's why when we get individuals, we're not trying to clean slate them, because everyone knows how to walk typically and run and these sort of things. But it's these little tweaks, because we teach you. Here's the thing. Here's my summary. Is everything you do that prepares you for buds, right? It's about, we got to look at as performance and not general, right? If we want you to perform, it has to be finite. At some point, again, strength only takes you so far. Then the goal is to make that strength really efficient. That's what we're trying to do. And you can only make it efficient if you are efficient, truly efficient. And that's where the coaching, that's where the uniqueness of coaching has to come in. And if someone isn't constantly giving you input on to make it better, or saying, that's where you need to be there, repeat that, you don't know. And if you're paying somebody to do that, to coach you, and they're not giving you any feedback, and you're like, man, I'm not getting better, it's very likely they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, like Jeff said earlier, you know, the feedback you get from your coach should be almost immediately, you know, heard, you know, depending on what you're doing. Like I said, I will stop people in the middle of push-ups, stop people in the middle of squats. I can see somebody swimming while I'm swimming in the lane next to them, and I'll stop them on the wall and say, hey, you need to change this up because it's not working, you know. So, you know, there's so many different things. I mean, if you're the guy who's training you, should be able to look at you and realize your weaknesses, should be able to look at your movement of whatever exercise you're doing and see a better technique. Or I came, you know what, I had the best day ever as an instructor, because we had a new guy who came in and he says, I just been watching videos of you guys swimming, so this is my first time ever showing anybody, so let's see what I said. All right, let's see what it looks like. He did a 50. I was like, I have nothing to say.
All
right, I'm gonna go work out now, you know. And so I was like, thank you.
So here's the thing too is, go ahead, Stu.
And so we just finished. I said, so your stroke is capable of an 8-minute swim by doing this 50 minutes at 50 yards in 48 seconds. So now let's get your conditioning better by mixing in, let's do a sprint freestyle to get you winded, and then let's see if you can catch your breath with a combat swimmer stroke at your goal pace. We're going to do that 10 times. So instead of just, you know, working on his technique, which I didn't need to do, we went straight into the, here's what you got to do to get in shape to master that technique for 500 yards. So, you know, kind of go right from the technique phase right into the workout phase. Let's see how that works. See how where your conditioning is, and see where you start falling off of that 50-second pace, right? If it's if it's 2-3 laps in or 2-3 sets in, you know, he's got some conditioning to do, you know, which is fine. You know, if he can handle 8-10 sets of that, he's not going to be far away from being able to finish his 500-yard swim in, you know, an 8-minute swim. So
yeah, as I listen to Stu, folks, here's your takeaway. Your takeaway is this, and you probably or may or just heard it but didn't pick it up. Your what Stu does and what I do and what every Buds instructor does is they do it with you, and they do it with you well. Like, I do not believe, I not even a little bit, unless you are been coaching for 60 years. Right. Because even Ed Cohen has had nine hip surgeries, and he still is teaching the deadlift, right? He's still teaching this and that. I do not believe in if can't do, teach. I don't believe it, especially in our shoes, because the nature of spec war is that cadre do it with the students, and they do it well. They are the example. So I do all my swimming with my students. I may not be matching them lap for lap, but I follow them. I track them. I film as I'm swimming underwater. I film them underneath of them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, just don't pay attention to me. I got a camera and I'm filming them as I'm finning so I can get all their angles and I can show them in the water.
Right.
And so like, I've got my waterproof camera every single time. Like if somebody is telling you to do something and they themselves can't do it, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah. That's a tough one.
I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
That's call it stubbornness. Now I'm not saying on like the parochial side, like, cause I know one of my close friends been doing it for 30 years as a strength coach. He is not going to demonstrate the snatch necessarily, but he can I don't expect him. He's been doing it for 40 years. Right. But the point is you have to, this is naval special warfare to a T in terms of the teaching side. There's a point in your career where if you can't teach, you won't progress as a senior leader, whether it's skydiving, shooting, whatever it may be. That's the beauty of it because the military is self-sustained. It's got to be self-sustaining. Now, certainly there are civilians coming in and teaching and whatnot, but when it comes to this and the PST and physically training, your teacher, your coach should be able to do everything that you do and probably should be able to do it better, right? Now, can I run as fast as some of my athletes in terms of a 4 mile? No, I can't.
I can't.
But, but that's also because I'm all – not an excuse. I'm not training it, but I still would be outran by some of my athletes.
Oh, absolutely. But
in terms of in the pool, in the weight room, in my ability to manipulate, positively manipulate, and make sure that I'm teaching a way that they can understand. That's the other side. If your coach is going, do this, do this, do this, and it's not making sense to you, and he or she keeps saying, do this, do the same way, you're like, you have to, as a coach, your coach has got to find a way to make you understand. Not put his thumb on you and make you bend to his will. But if I'm teaching somebody and they're not picking up what I'm saying, it's one of a couple things. They've either had a stroke, which I can rule out. They've had multiple concussions recently, which also I'm going to rule out. They don't give a shit, which I'll rule out right away and I wouldn't be there with them. Or two, they don't understand because of the way I'm teaching. I've got to find a way for them to understand their way.
Yeah, absolutely. Some people can hear you say it and pick it up. Some people need to see you do it.
And that's stupid. That's the answer.
Yeah.
They may never understand the way you say it.
Right.
But the moment you show them, like what Stu is saying, they go, bing, because we're so visual.
Yeah.
Light bulb on. That's why I film it.
Yeah, same here. I use my iPhone and just walk right along with them when they're swimming, and I say, what's your phone number? Because I told you everything you're doing wrong. You know, go take this home for your homework.
Yep.
And then I say, all right, here's how we fix it.
Yep.
And another thing too, is that if you have an instructor that is also doing it with you, because the other day I wrote a workout, like, you know, I put my workouts up on these cardboard pieces. Yeah. So I don't have to tell everybody what we're doing all the time. And I just set it up on the wall and I said, we'll go through this together. But anyway, I wrote it the other day, and I was like, okay, this is going to be a hard one, kind of a new choreography of all these workouts, and I was doing it with them, and I said, you know what, guys? We need to change something up because this is way too hard for a warm-up, right? Yeah. And so I would say instead of doing a lunging across the basketball court, you know, down and back, we're just going to go down, and then we'll run back, you know? So because it was turning into like 200 squats and 200 lunges, and I was trying just to warm up everybody, not crush them before a leg day. So I wrote laps instead of length, and you know, we all read it as laps. I'm like, okay, let's try it out. And I said, you know what, pull back. Yeah. But I wouldn't have known that wouldn't have been doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I would have said, suck it up, go do it. You know, so it's not that hard, you know, but no, I did it. And I was like, yeah, this is going to suck.
Yeah. So, that's happened to me a number of times, because also I want to scale it. Like, I do it because if I know it's one of my strengths and it's some of my athletes, because, like, especially when I was at Virginia High Performance, and every day at 3 o'clock, I had my 12 to 14 guys every day, and I trained, I did their program, I trained with them. And sometimes it was opposite. I was like, oh, that's way too easy, guys. Let's add some reps and sets or whatever.
Yeah.
Or you add some different complexity to it. But that's the thing is, there are certain cases where the person's not going to get in the water with you or whatever, but for me, that's just not acceptable. It's just not, it's not acceptable, because that's what the tradition of our history of our community is don't you're only as good as a leader as your ability to do what you're asking people to do.
Yeah. And you know what? I think about that too, Jeff. Sometimes, you know, whenever we were at Bud's and we had a guy on that podium doing the PT, I always found that to be, I don't know, what's a good word for it? Refreshing, I guess. Yeah, it was a little bit of that. It was like, all right, this is who I got to stand up with. I'm just going to watch him. I got to keep up with him. That's what I got to do. So you knew the standard.
Yeah.
You knew what you had to meet. You know, when you went for a run with the with your class, the instructor was in front. Yeah. You just had to stay right behind the instructor.
Yeah.
You knew the standard. Yep. And I've carried that with me ever since. You know, no matter what we did, you know, whether I was, you know, an instructor or, you know, as a, you know, in the fitness world, I've always done that. And that has always made a big difference, I think, in the way clients read you, but as well as, you know, you just provide a standard for them and people like that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I believe that we've delivered the message we were intending to do. And it's not necessarily meant to discredit anything.
No. But
the reality is that the truth and the reality, and especially when we're talking about optimal, because we're visual learners, but also to keep us ourselves to a higher standard. I'm very proud of the idea that people like Stu and I are hands-on. That is what that community, those people deserve. Like,
yeah.
I really, really, you know, someone that's going to the gym every day just, you know, because it's a social thing and they like it and they whatever. But with those of you that are in the tactical space that are really training for something very specific and demanding, it's important to me that the people that I work with are able to look at me and go, huh, he isn't just a mouth. He does train every day and trains the way that he tells people to train and believes it. And oh, wow, this really, really works.
Yeah. And
he's twice my age.
Yeah. You know? I've been doing my periodization program for 20 years.
Yep.
And it makes a difference.
Yeah.
You know, it really works. It kind of rebuilt me after some serious pains and injuries to be able to do this for a living and keep on moving, you know, after I got out. But
right. Yeah. And that's, you know, the last thing for me is your teacher, instructor, coach, whatever you want to call them, you should have an open line of communication with that person where you can go, man, this just really doesn't feel right, or I don't know why what's going on. And that teacher, coach, instructor should be able to say right away, go, huh, well, let's change this up a little bit. I may have been a little bit wrong on this. Like, let's readjust. Again, just like what Stu did with his lunges. Like, okay, got a little overzealous with the pen or my thoughts, or I skipped a thought. Let's adjust on the fly. And it's not because you're just trying to, oh, let's get him tired, let's throw fucking burpees in this thing. No.
Right.
It's you're only wrong if you know you're wrong and you continue to follow. You can start off a little bit off and go, ah, we got to make an adjustment. Adjustments are fine.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all need them too. I mean, other day I had a plan to do a big upper body day and I was, I came in there dragging. I don't know what it was, man. And I said, you know what? I'm going to set you guys up on this upper body day and I'm going to do a mobility day because I'm just, I need some non-impact cardio and some stretching and foam rolling. And, you know, that was what I needed that day. And
yeah,
I wasn't being lazy because I was up. I was there, you know, I just wasn't in it. Right. I felt kind of crappy.
And if you do it every day, right, if you're doing it every day with your athletes, it's very likely, even though there's an age difference, it's very, like for me and Stu, if I'm feeling like poo on a Friday,
yes,
there's a very good chance that the rest of your athletes are going, half of them are kind of like, man, I hope today isn't going to suck because I feel like crap.
Absolutely.
Then, you know, if you build that rapport and I'm sure Stu said it to his athletes. He did. He's like, hey guys, I bet they're probably like, huh, he is human. Number one. And two, it's like, they will then be comfortable and they know that won't be judged for it. One of them could have been, man, I had a really tough day at school or didn't sleep. And Stu would be like, yeah, man, jump in with me.
Yep.
Like there's no sense in this training environment where you need to crush somebody all the time.
Yep.
Buds will do that.
Yeah.
But we need to prepare you for that.
Right.
So hopefully that made sense for you guys. You know, take it from what for what it's got, but
Yeah.
Have a plan and follow it.
Yeah, if you don't have a trainer, that's no big deal, but you should still go about your training the same way we just did, right? Way we just explained it, you know, and you know, have somebody videotape you doing some of these exercises if you're starting to feel like you're just sucking on them. Just you seeing it will be a big light bulb to you, especially swimming. You're like, oh my God, I had no idea I swam like that. Oh, my push-ups from the side look like crap.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You know, so yeah. So have somebody film it for you and you'll see a picture's worth 1,000 words, a moving picture's worth 10,000.
Yeah, so. For sure. Of yourself, for sure. Yeah. Yep. Awesome, Stu. Again, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or even like great ideas, you know, for yourself or something that you've done, just leave them in the comments box.
Yeah, please share them.
People, there's between Stu and I, there's a lot of people reading the comments that you guys leave.
Yeah.
And helping them out. And so some of you that have answered some of the questions that I haven't gotten around to or Stu has in our comments and you guys have helped us out. That does. It helps us out a lot.
Yeah, it does. Thank you. All right.
All right, Stu.
We'll see you.
Take care.
All right.